Well, our second scripture reading today comes from the book of Habakkuk in the Old Testament. And in my 3 years here, you've never heard me preach from Habakkuk, and so I'm glad Cassie wanted to do that, because it's not a normal book that preachers preach a lot from, but this scripture is very important to know. And so it's Habakkuk, the first chapter, verses 1 to 4, and then the second chapter, verses 1 to 4. Listen now for the word of God. The oracle that the prophet Habakkuk saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not listen? Or cry to you, violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see wrongdoing and look at trouble? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law becomes slack and justice never prevails. The wicked surround the righteous, therefore judgment comes forth perverted. I will stand at my watchpost and station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see what he will say to me and what he will answer concerning my complaint. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. Make it plain on tablets so that a runner may read it. For there is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks of the end and does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Look at the proud. Their spirit is not right in them, but the righteous live by their faith. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. Okay,
Pastor Cindy, I need some help. I have this blindfold on. Can you help me get to the podium here?
I can. Took now two more steps forward.
Okay, one.
Put your feet together. Uh-huh. Take one step up with your right foot.
Oh, my goodness.
And feet together.
You know, we've only known each other a short period of time. Can I trust you?
I think so.
Okay, all right.
Right foot up.
Okay.
Step together.
Got it.
Another right foot up.
Uh-huh.
Step together and reach out for the table.
Oh, we're here already.
Yes.
Okay.
Now left.
Okay.
And then left again.
Left again.
And then left again.
And then left again.
And take my hand.
Oh, hi.
Okay. So step one, two, three, and you are here.
Oh, my gosh, we made it. You guys. Oh, we made it. We're here. Oh, I think I can take this off now. You guys look good. First, I just want to say thank you so much for having me. And I want to say that I'm really honored to be preaching this morning. And we're talking about trust today. We're talking about what it means in relationship with God to trust. And so as we enter into this part of our worship, let's pray together. God be with us. Help us to hear your words today. What are the words that are not of you, let them fall to the wayside. And the words that are of you, let them stick to our hearts. We love you. And everyone said, amen. Relationships are difficult. They're frustrating. And they can be complicated. Whether it's family, friends, someone you randomly meet on the street, it's complicated. And you're never really sure what it requires all the time. I mean, yeah, it requires showing up. It requires being a little bit, you know, respectful of that person. It means that you have to show compassion when you don't really want to. And it means that we need to trust. And so that means that they can be risky. Like, being in a relationship can be a little bit vulnerable. And what I think is so fascinating about relationships is that our relationships with God feels almost even more complicated. Because we're putting our trust, we're putting our faith in an invisible truth, an invisible presence it's kind of mysterious. Sometimes it feels unknown. Sometimes it feels like it's not even happening. But choosing to trust, we talk about it as blind faith. We talk about it as maybe blindfolded. And it's a little confusing. I myself, as Pastor Cindy told you, just graduated from seminary in June. And the worst question you can ask someone who's graduating is, "So what's next?" And you go, "Sleeping?" Which I've done really well on, by the way. I've done really well with that. But what's hard about that step is trusting that God knows what's next. And I chose a path that was a little different than most. I didn't dive directly into a full-time pastoral position. I didn't jump into, going straight for a PhD, which a lot of my friends have chosen to do. I've chosen to do things a little differently. I realized that I was tired. I realized I had been involved in a lot of work the last 4 years. And before that, as a youth director, I was working 5 years full time. And I realized that I needed to trust that God was telling me that I needed to rest. And I've been really thankful for the way that God has provided for me. I've been, as my dad and my stepmom are here, they gave me a place to live, which is a huge deal. And I was able to be present in a way and rest in a way that I would not have been able to do without them. I'm really thankful for the relationships that God has given me, that I've been able to trust that I wouldn't be alone. My best friend Jenny is here with us this morning and showing me that I'm not alone. It's amazing. I went church shopping. I did the whole Presbyterian church rounds. And I walked into this community and automatically felt the sweet spirit of hospitality that you guys all have. And I'm so thankful that I took the risk of not going straight into ministry, or I would have missed out on meeting you guys. There's something about this trust that's really important. Yet, trust can be really scary. You're not exactly sure what's going to happen next. And as I was a youth director I was a youth director for 5 years at Sunnyvale Presbyterian Church down in San Jose. And one of the ways that I like to teach the kids was we would play a community building game. And you just saw an example of it as I came up to the podium. You put a blindfold on one student, you have another student across the room, and a landmine of couches and pillows and fake web being all across the room for them to navigate the blind person across the room. And all of a sudden, when a couch used to just be something comfy to sit on, it has now become something for your shins to be really upset about. And so as these students are now placing their lives in their shins, in the hands of the person across the room, asking them to step right or step left or duck. And it's this beautiful, beautiful, tangible example for students to step into this idea of trust. In our world today, we definitely have some landmines that we weren't necessarily aware of maybe a year ago. And we have literal things that feel complicated, that feel disastrous, that feel violent, as Habakkuk placed it. Habakkuk literally, in the translation that I have, it's this section is called Habakkuk's Complaint. I love that. I love that a complaining moment is scripture. Right? Take a minute. Think about it. God not only wants our complaints, like they're holy scripture. That's a really big deal. There is destruction and violence going on for Habakkuk during this time. The people of God are under persecution, and he's seeing that there is strife and conflict abounds. Conflict abounds. It says that the law is paralyzed. In this translation that I have, The law is paralyzed. The way that God has asked the people of God to work in the world is literally stunted because of all the violence and chaos that's around him. Today, there is some violence in our world. We have the death of black bodies in the streets. We have the violence of the political climate that we're in. We have the piping and the protests that are happening in the Dakotas. We have, the list seems to keep growing. It feels a little chaotic to me. I don't know where you stand politically, whether Republican, Democrat, Green Party, Libertarian, whatever. It seems very chaotic. And honestly, I'm not sure where we're going to end up. I'm nervous about it. And let me tell you, I have complained about it a lot and on Facebook. But God has an answer. And what I also love about Habakkuk here is that he calls God out. He doesn't just say, like, I'm upset, and then goes and sits down. He says, not only am I upset, I'm going to stand up here on this watchtower, and I am going to wait. I'm going to wait for your answer. God, show up. I am going to wait. Habakkuk recognizes that our relationship with God is not one that is passive. Often I feel like there's this myth that our relationship with God, once we say that we're in it, then we just do whatever God says and we don't complain and we sit with our hands crossed and we say, yes, okay, uh-huh, right on, let's do it. And yet God wants more than that. God is not just sitting on a throne up in the clouds somewhere giving us commands, saying, do this, and shooting lightning bolts down. God is saying, I want a real relationship with you. I want you to complain. And not only do I want you to complain, I want you to listen for my answer. And not only do I want you to listen for my answer, I am going to answer. It may not be exactly when you want me to answer. It may not be the answer you want, but I'm going to answer. And I love God's answer in this passage. Write it down. His answer is not just for Habakkuk. Make sure the herald goes and runs this to everybody. Let everybody know that I haven't abandoned you. Shout it from the mountaintops. Tell everyone, put it on Facebook, Twitter, email, hard copy, snail mail, make a billboard. Get it out to the people. I have an answer for you. And the answer is wait. Seriously? The answer is wait, but it's an answer. The answer is, my timing is not your timing, but my timing will come and it is good. My timing will come and it is good. Okay, let me say this again. We need some participation here. My timing will come and it is good. And everyone said, amen.
Amen.
God's timing is good. Yes, I heard that. I heard that out there. What I love about this passage is that even though the answer may linger, the answer will come and it is good. What I love about this passage is that God wants a real relationship with us. God doesn't want us to be silent onlookers, minions that just do his bidding. God wants a relationship. Now, we might not get exactly what we want, but God wants a relationship with us, a real relationship where we can complain, where we can be frustrated, and we can trust that good news is coming. We get to trust that good news is coming. And thankfully, we don't live in the Old Testament. We live today, present, knowing that the good news has come, that Jesus came, lived, died, and rose again for each one of us. Okay, should I say that again? That Jesus came, lived, died, and rose again for each one of us.
Amen.
Amen. You guys are getting it. The truth is that God wants relationship with us, and he doesn't want a fake one. He doesn't want a passive relationship. He wants a real mutual relationship. So trust, knowing that God's timing is God's timing, and that God wants us to be in relationship with him. Thanks be to God.